Why don't we open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12?
As we continue on looking at the gifts of the Spirit, those of you that are not new and becoming, you know, we've covered the Holy Spirit, and now we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit. I'm thinking we're going to be done in about three more teachings on this. Today we're looking at gifts of healings and working of miracles. You know, I think it's important that if we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit, we understand the gifts of the Spirit. And so that's why we set aside this time to look at it in more depth and how they operate and how they work and why they operate and why they don't operate at different times. So notice verse 7. Let's read together in chapter 12, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles. And again, that's by the same Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, and Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do this morning. And God, as we look at the gifts of healings and we look at the working of miracles, Lord, we're looking for you to do that today. Lord, we've come to learn your word and to seek you and to worship you and to honor you. But Lord, some have come this morning who need a touch from you in a very bad way. Lord, maybe they just found out there's something that's terminal. Maybe they just found out there's some miracle that they need in their life, or they're going to lose their home, or they're going to lose their husband or their wife, or their child, or whatever the case might be. And Lord, oftentimes we come and we enjoy getting together and seeking you, Lord, and gathering together. But there are times when our hearts are just broken, and there are times that our hearts are desperate, and we need a fresh touch from you in some type of new way. And this morning, as we look at a gift of healings, God, I know there's some in here that need to be healed. And up to this point, you've not done that. And Lord, we leave it in your hands whether you will heal or not heal. You're the Lord. But Lord, it might be that you want to give a gift of healing today to that person. Lord, there's some here that, again, that came needing that miracle. It might be you're going to give that gift of miracle, whether it's the ability to operate in that gift or whether it's just to receive it. We know, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we ask that you would just meet us here in a powerful way and meet the needs of your people, Lord. And we thank you, God. We're anxious to see what you're going to do in your Spirit. And God, we receive it by faith. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's interesting, guys. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. As we jump into two other things here, we're going to jump right into it because, again, I want to spend some time talking about gifts of healings, working of miracles, and then I'm going to do what we did in the first service. We're going to spend a little bit of time at the very end giving you an opportunity to pray, to receive not only the gift of healing and the working of miracles as being able to operate in that gift in your life as a spiritual gift, but you guys, there's something else we need to realize, and you'll recognize it when I say it. Maybe you haven't thought of it that way, but there are gifts of healings and working of miracles that God does just for the individual. It might not be a gift that you have that you use for others, which is really why we want to pray for the gifts, but it might be that you're the one that needs that gift of healing, and you're the one that needs that working of miracles, and so that's what we're going to also give the opportunity for today. Now, there in verse 9, where it says that one of the gifts that God gives is the gift of healing. Again, it's something to realize that, you know, any doctor worth his snuff will tell you that he cannot heal you. When it comes to being healed, that is a work of God. That is a work of the Spirit. Now, God has built into our natural, the way we're made, where we heal, our bodies heal. When we're cut, we begin to heal up. And God has designed that in the body, but it's still God that does the healing process. He's the one that does it. And a doctor might respond that he is, you know, glad he can help out, but really the Lord is the one who does it. And why is that there? God has done that because he loves us. And God knew that when sin entered the world, we would need to be healed. Now, imagine this. Imagine God's planning. Before sin entered the world, there was no need for healing. There was no need for a gift of healing because nobody was ever going to get sick. Nobody would ever, need to be healed as far as that went. But God knew we were going to fall, and God knew we would need that gift. And so God had already worked that in. But I think that part of what God did at the cross was also not only dying for our sins, as we know, but guys, I believe part of the whole suffering of the cross was for this first gift that we're talking about today, the supernatural gift of healing. And what do I mean by that? Well, God doesn't do anything in our lives, and especially the Father didn't do anything in Jesus' life that wasn't necessary to be done for what God wanted to accomplish in him. God wastes no time. He wastes no energy. He wastes no event. And you know, when it came to Jesus, the bottom line is, I know for a fact that God didn't just have Jesus go through all that beating just to get to the cross. There was a reason for the beating and the suffering. It's interesting. It says in Isaiah 53:5 that by his stripes we are healed. And again, I know that there are theologians that will say that's only speaking of the spiritual healing because of the cross and the blood. And I agree with that. It is for the spiritual healing. By his stripes, we are healed because he was crucified for us. We're healed. spiritually, and I believe that. But guys, I also believe that what Jesus went through as far as the suffering on the way to the cross, the beating, the lashings, the pulling out of his beard, all the torture that he went through was so we could be healed physically as well. And I believe there's a dual meaning there. I don't believe that it's just spiritual healing. I believe it's physical healing as well. Now, does the Lord heal everyone? Well, we're going to see in just a moment scripturally, no, the Lord doesn't heal everyone. But since we don't know who the Lord's going to heal, I think it's smart of us to ask, Lord, heal me. Because he might. And we leave that in his hands. Our job is to ask. His job is to decide who is going to heal and why. And some of you might already be saying, you know, why doesn't God heal everybody? Well, I don't know why God heals some and doesn't heal others. But I know this. God uses oftentimes our maladies and our infirmities to do in us what he wants to do. Because there are some of us who would never cry out to God if it wasn't for the illness or sickness that we've had. And how many people have you talked to that have some major illness and they say, you know what, I didn't like going through this physically, but I wouldn't trade it for the world because of what it's done for me spiritually. So understand there are different reasons. We see Paul the apostle again. The Lord himself gave him a malady, made his eyes bad, did something, at least they think it probably was his eyes, but did something to Paul to where, you know, Paul wasn't healed. And God did that to keep Paul humble. So that's part of what the Lord does. But what I want you to realize today is that the Lord went through that beating for a specific reason. And I believe he went through it so that you could be healed today. And some of you need a touch from the Lord today. Some of you need to be healed. Now, I wish I could say that God's going to heal every one of you. But when we're done and we pray at the end, I believe that God may very well heal some of you. And I think that sometimes we pray and God doesn't heal. He wants us to wait. Then later on, he does heal. And sometimes, you know, God's timing is God's timing. But we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. But understand, when it comes to the gifts of healing and working of miracles, there's two different sides to both I want you to grasp. Paul is talking here in 1 Corinthians about a supernatural gift where you are given a gift where you can pray for someone and they can be healed. Or you can pray for a miracle and they'll receive a miracle. But guys, there's also the other side of it where God simply loves you because you're his bride and you're his child, and he wants to possibly give you a gift of healing today. Just a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. You need to be healed. Here's that gift. Or I'm going to give you a miracle today because you need that miracle. And we need to be asking. We need to be believing the Lord for that and trusting in the Lord for that. Now, I want to look at it. The way we're going to break this down is we're going to look at gifts of healings in the Old Testament and New, a couple of examples. Then we're going to look at working of miracles in the Old Testament and New, a couple of examples, and see how not only they were for that day, but they're for our day as well. The first thing I want to do is have us turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. So turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll see first a gift to heal others, and secondly, God simply giving a gift of healing for someone who needs it. And again, I believe that the passage speaks of both of those. Now, notice there in 2 Kings chapter 5, we're just going to read those first verses there up through 14. And notice it says, "Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given him victory in Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." Now notice, he had an incurable disease. "And the Syrians had gone out on raids, and they had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife." So she was a servant there for Naaman's wife. "And she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Look, thus and thus said the girl who's from the land of Israel.'" He says, "Hey, there's somebody in Israel that's supposed to be able to heal me. And so let me go." And the king said to Syria, "Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." And so he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when the letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." Now, can you imagine getting a letter like that? "Hey, I've sent somebody to you with AIDS, Pastor Mark." We all know that's an incurable disease. That's what leprosy was like in that day. "I've sent someone to you with AIDS. You know, I've heard that God can heal, that your God can do that. Maybe you're in a foreign country. Maybe you're on a missions trip. You know, whatever the case might be, and somebody comes up and says that, that would freak you out at first, right? It's like, wait a minute, what, can I heal? I'm not God." And so notice here what the king of Israel does. It says, "It happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes," again, a sign of great shock and just, you know, amazement. "And he said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends someone to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how this man seeks a quarrel with me.'" In other words, he doesn't want a healing. He's looking for an excuse to attack Israel. "So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes?' please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, yes, there's a prophet in Israel, but this prophet had the gift of healing. Again, that gift where you can, a special gift that God gives, it's an anointing where, no, God doesn't heal everyone, but God does use you in that way, and you lay hands on someone and they're healed. Now, again, this particular gift was given to Elisha, and Elisha, no doubt, is thinking, hey, God sent him here. God's going to use me to heal him. Let's watch what happens. And no doubt God had told Elisha already. The connection the prophet had to God was quite amazing. And so notice, then Naaman went with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. So the king's relieved now. He sends Naaman down there to Elisha, stands at the door of the house, and notice what he's expecting. He's expecting fanfare. He was expecting something magnificent to happen. And by the way, when you think of a healing, you think of some kind of flashing lights and, you know, whatever. I mean, no doubt Naaman was standing there, and he was expecting, you know, the door to open and some man in a white suit with a spotlight on him to come out and say, now come forward and you'll be healed or whatever, right? Now, I joke, but that's what we think of today, is it not? But guys, note this, when it comes to the gift of healing, God works in powerful ways, in very natural ways. It doesn't always come with great fanfare. It can simply be just a prayer, just believing and receiving and watching God heal. And so watch, Naaman's got his mindset now. There's going to be some special ceremony that's going to take place. Not the case. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Something very simple. You know, just go and wash. Guys, it's interesting to me that God speaks of his word as the water that washes us. And I think that oftentimes when we're looking for God to touch our life, we're looking for some type of, I don't know, some type of spectacular thing, some type of event that we've got to go to. And I do believe that can be a faith release. But guys, notice this. He said, simply go and wash 7 times. Water representing in scriptures, you know, the word of God, 7 being the number of completion. I think there's a message from the Holy Spirit for us in this. And that is, look, you want a touch from God? It doesn't always have to be some spectacular event. You just spend time in the word of God and completely wash. And as you spend time washing in the word of God, God is going to touch your life. Now, sometimes it may be a physical healing. Sometimes it may just be God giving you that spiritual healing that you need. Whatever the case might be, the bottom line is we need to be in the Word of God. And so, again, this is a very literal thing, though. That's an application. But he says, go and wash. And notice Naaman gets upset. Naaman became furious. Again, he wanted the big fanfare. He went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he returned and went away in a rage. He's like, you know what? You know, God didn't do it the way I'm thinking. So he's furious. And his servants came near to him and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? You know, if he'd come out and said, hey, you know, do this and throw that over your shoulder or whatever, you know, you'd have done it. How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he goes, you know what, you're right. You made a point here. So he went down. What have you got to lose, right? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And notice, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Guys, there is the gift of healing. Elisha operated in the gift of healing. Now again, this particular Naaman had to obey what the prophet said. God was going to do it that way. But the bottom line is, we see that they're working. I want to see another example. Now that's, first of all, the gift to heal others. Now I want you to see where God sometimes just gives us a gift of healing, just like he would for his bride or a gift for his child. Turn now to 2 Kings chapter 20. Because when we're done, we're going to pray for some of you to receive the actual gift of healing, to be able to lay hands on people. And we're also going to pray that God would touch some of you just to give you a gift of healing. And that is, again, what the Lord does as well. Notice 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. It says, now in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now, how would you like to get a word from God like that today? You ever had somebody come up to you and say, hey, I've got a word, you know, from the Lord for you? It's like, yeah, okay, great, I want to hear it. Can you imagine somebody walking up saying, welcome to Calvary Chapel, you're not going to live, you're going to die. You know, it'd be kind of like, oh, I think I'll find somewhere else to go. It's not exactly exhorting here, but that's what happens. And here's the thing that shocked Hezekiah. Note this, when a prophet spoke and said, thus saith the Lord, they knew it was God. This wasn't like someone that tells you they have a word for you and you think, well, is it or is it not? This was from the Lord. You know, Hezekiah, you're going to die. And so he turned his face toward the wall and he prayed to the Lord, saying, and no doubt we would have done the same thing. So notice he turns to the Lord now and he begins to cry out, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly, so his heart's broken before God. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." So Hezekiah, you know, Isaiah's, you know, leaving. God moves in his heart and says, "Well, Isaiah's praying, go back and tell him I'm going to heal him. I've heard his prayer, I'm going to touch him." He says, "You're going to be healed. On the third day you're going to go up to the house of the Lord." And he says, "I will add to your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Now, what an exciting word for Hezekiah to hear. Don't you wish that God would speak to you today very clearly and say, "You know what, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to do a work in your life, and right now I'm going to do it." Well, God may be saying that to some of you, and God may actually do that for some of you. But let me say this now. Sometimes God heals right away in a very supernatural way, and sometimes God heals over time and even through doctors. And I've heard some people say, "Well, I don't know that, you know, God can use doctors." No, as a matter of fact, look at the next verse. He tells him, verse 7, Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." And so they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, I don't know what properties were in the figs or what the figs really represented as far as his healing there. But again, there's some medicinal, you know, attention being given here to Hezekiah. And we see that he's healed of this. And so God uses sometimes supernatural just right at the moment. And sometimes God uses a process. And the bottom line is he's God. He can do it how he wants. But there's examples in the Old Testament. Now, but Mark, that was the Old Testament. Does God still heal in the New Testament? Yes, I believe so. And as a matter of fact, some of you in this room have experienced healings of the Lord. I want you to turn with me now to Acts chapter 5. Because obviously we see that Jesus healed in the New Testament. But what I want you to see as well is that the Lord told us that there would be healing. Now, we're not going to read Matthew chapter 8. But Matthew chapter 8, remember, Jesus told his disciples and sent them out and said, "No, go out and heal and do these things in my name." So he's called us to be those praying for others and trusting in God to heal them. So we're commanded as one of the followers of the Lord to go out and heal people in his name. And again, our job is to lay hands on and pray. God's job is to do the healing. But I want you to see a couple of examples of healing in the New Testament, so you see that it's not just something that God did in the old. In Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12, look what was going on in the early church. It says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly." Again, there was great fear of being a Christian in that day. "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." God was using Peter in a gift of healing. And so they saw that gift operating. They said, "Hey, let's go out. If we can't get to Peter, maybe at least his shadow will do this." And again, their faith, you know. And so also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So again, we see God using the believers. One other example. Flip on over to Acts chapter 8 as we look at verses 5 through 8. Again, notice the followers of the Lord operating in the gift of healing. It says this in verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles he did." Now again, miracles will be in just a moment, but there's an example of a miracle in the New Testament. "For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed became healed." So note what happens here. Again, this whole working there, and there was great joy in that city. So there was healing, there was great joy, and we see God operating. Now, where else do we see this in the New Testament? Well, you can write this one down for later. James 5, verses 14 and 15 says this, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven." And so we see again here that the healing is happening, not just in the Old Testament, but guys, healing is for our day as well. It was in the New Testament, and there's healing even today. As a matter of fact, if I was to ask, there's probably several of you that have experienced healings in here today.
As a matter of fact, even unbelievers, when you talk to them about healing and miracles, many of them will say, yes, I've seen a healing that was supernatural. I've seen a miracle that was supernatural. Now, they may not give God the credit for it, but they have to admit that it's there. And so that gift is available for you. Now, here's another thing we've already brought up, but I want to take note of. If God gives any of you the gift of healing, does that mean that everyone you touch will be healed? Well, the answer to that is no. As a matter of fact, Paul had the gift of healing, and we see several examples. I'll give you just a few of them. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Paul said that he left Trophimus in Miletus sick. Now, we know Paul had a gift of healing because Paul laid his hands on people, and they were healed. Now, if Paul had a gift of healing, you know that Paul prayed for Trophimus, and yet Paul left Trophimus in Miletus sick, which shows us very clearly that God does not heal everyone. What about Paul? Paul himself. The Bible says Paul had some kind of malady, probably his eyes is what most think because of the fact he couldn't recognize the high priest there in Acts. We don't know for sure. But again, Paul, you know, he had the gift of healing and Paul wasn't even healed. Can you imagine if the gift of healing works so much every time that you just kind of lay your hands on yourself, you'd never be sick, you know? It'd be like, get up that morning, you feel bad, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you heal me and all this. And because if you're a parent and you found out your kids had that gift, you know, you'd make them use it all the time. That'd be a curse as a kid because you couldn't miss school any. See, that'd be the problem. Paul says in Galatians 4, again, we talked about, you know, him being sick and not being able to be healed. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, take treatment for your stomach. You know, no doubt they had prayed for Timothy to be healed. What happened? Timothy wasn't healed. He said, so here, take the treatment. And so why do I say that? Guys, I simply say that to say this. Number one, the gift of healing is for today. God still gives that gift, but even if you have the gift, God doesn't heal everybody. And so our job is simply to say, Lord, will you heal me? And run to the Lord, believing in faith, and watch God work. We're going to do that in just a little bit. Now, again, why don't we see more of the gift of healing in the church today? If the gift of healing is really for today, how come we're not seeing it more? Now, we do see healings. I'm not saying we don't see healings, but I'm talking about the gift of healing. Note the difference. There are gifts of healings, and that is where God just chooses to heal someone. But then there's a supernatural gift of healing where God really anoints a person like Paul and like Elisha to lay hands on people and then be healed. We don't see that very often. And how I wish we did. Can you imagine? And listen, if God gives any of you guys that gift today when we pray, if you find you have that gift, you need to minister in that gift. You need to minister to this body. You need to minister to this, you know, as God opens up the door, just to minister. But that brings up the reason I don't think that many people have this gift, because there aren't many people that can handle such a gift. I don't know that I can handle the gift. I mean, what if you truly had a gift of healing, and when you prayed for people, they were just healed? I mean, maybe not all of them, but let's say a large percentage. I mean, God just gave you that gift. How would you handle that as an individual? Would you begin to think that somehow you were great? See, I don't know the answer to that. Only God knows. And so I don't know why God doesn't give me that gift. Maybe it's because of that. But you know what? Maybe there's some of you that can handle that gift. And God would give you that gift. And if he does, then great. It's a tremendous gift that's needed in the body of Christ. And I believe that the reason we don't see that gift very much, number one, is because of skepticism. I think a lot of people don't believe that God works that way anymore, and so therefore God doesn't operate and give that gift as often because of unbelief. The Bible tells us that we can limit what God does in our life by our lack of faith. Secondly, I believe it's because many today try to use the gift of healing as an opportunity for personal gain. How many of you seen that try to, you know, say they have the gift of healing and they use it for personal glory, or it turns into a crusade about what they can do, or else an opportunity to pass the plate? See, God's not going to have anything to do with that. What God wants is just simplicity. It doesn't have to be a moment where Elisha comes out and does all these fancy things over Naaman. You know, Naaman, you know, come forward and let the spotlight hit me. How long have you been this way, Naaman? You know, and so we're going to do this now, Naaman. You know, now let me tell you what we're going to do. Naaman, I want you to run back and forth in front of the hut, you know, and then come back and tell me, Naaman, okay? Please don't misunderstand me. I don't want to discredit anything that God does for real among the body of Christ. I believe in healing, and I believe in the gift of healing, but I don't believe in showboating. And I don't believe in pride. And I believe that oftentimes the reason we don't see God operate this way is because of showboating and pride. And what we need are people that just simply believe that God works in simple but powerful ways and says, Lord, you want to use me that way? Here I am. And we're going to pray for that this morning. Who knows? God may give that gift. I wish that we would have that gift in this body. It would be amazing. Now, again, we see God touching people and healing them, but actual gift of healing, that's a whole nother realm. Secondly and lastly for today, we come to the working of miracles. Now, notice there in verse 10, he says that by the same Spirit, God gives working of miracles. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that is impossible for man, but easy for God. You've heard me say this over and over. Your problem is only as big as your problem solver. Let me say it another way. Remember, a thing to be accomplished is only as hard as the ability of the one trying to accomplish it. Which means if you need a miracle this morning and you're saying, there's no way I can do that. Guys, it's not you that can do it. It's God. Don't you understand? I'll share one just real quick. Early on in my walk with the Lord, I've shared this with you before. I saw God do several miracles in my life. And I see God do miracles today. But oftentimes those that happen at the very start stick out more in your mind. I remember one time taking all my money out of my account down to $5. I had $5 left in my account. I cleaned it out. You had to leave $5 in or they wouldn't let you keep your account open. So I left the $5 in. I went back. I found out that there was a bill that was due right then. I mean, the bill was due. There's nothing I could do. And I remember, again, just praying to the Lord, that simplicity. You know, what is it about, you know, children just believe their father, don't they? And I'll tell you something. I think sometimes my faith was greater as a new believer than it is today. You know, as you grow and as you mature and you look more at, you know, the laws of physical science and all these things, you begin to question things. How wonderful it is to just have that simplicity of a child and just believe your father. And as a baby Christian, that's oftentimes where we are. And that's where I was. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you can give me the money that I need right now. And I'd called the bank again just to check to make sure, although I knew I'd taken everything out, you know. And there was, no, you got $5 in there, they told me, and all this kind of thing. So I remember just praying again and saying, Lord, you know. And I don't remember how long it was between. It wasn't long. But I remember again just saying, God, I believe you can do this. You could do a miracle. You know that I need it. I can't get it between now and the time it's due. And I'm just gonna call the bank again by faith. I'm just gonna call the bank. Now some of you are gonna run them and call the bank today, so don't do that. They're closed on Sunday anyway. But the bottom line is I called them back, and I'll never forget. There was a certain amount of money I needed, whether or not it was exactly 200 or not, I don't remember. But I remember calling them back and saying, could you just check my account and see what I have in my account? And I, of course, didn't tell them anything. She comes back on the phone, she says, you have $200 in your account. Now, guys, I'm not saying that God is going to reward us by putting money in our account and somehow we can depend on that. This is not about money. This is to make a point. God knew that I was doing all I could do. I didn't have what I needed to meet it. I was putting him first in my life. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. And somehow $200 got in my account. Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, well, somebody put it in there. Listen, there wasn't that long between the time I made the call to the bank, prayed, and then called them back. I didn't even let anybody know I had that need. So my point is that we have to realize that when God does miracles, here's how a miracle works. A miracle goes outside the natural realm. And where we oftentimes are limited in our mind, can God do a miracle in my life, is that we limit God by the physical realm, by the natural laws and all this. Yes, the laws are in place, but guys, let me ask you this. Who created the natural laws that are in place? The God that we serve did. And what that means is he has the authority and the power to override those. Oh, nobody could ever walk on water. Really? Jesus did. Well, that's Jesus. Well, Peter did it, didn't he? And now Peter lacked faith, and we probably know why they called Peter Rock, right? Because he didn't last long, but the bottom line is he made it a while out through there, didn't he? Lizards do it. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, if you've seen the National Geographic, or the, anyway. But the bottom line is, listen, the laws of physics and the laws of nature are not limited by God. So guys, this morning, right now, whatever your miracle is you need, I don't know what it is. It's impossible to change his heart, Lord. It's impossible to change her heart. It's impossible for you to save our house. It's impossible to save our marriage. It's impossible for this to happen, whatever. Guys, it's not impossible with God. It's impossible with us. And you know what? There's a sweet freedom in getting so tired and trying to do it yourself that you just turn it over to the Lord, because you know what? Come what may, here we go, Lord. Isn't that beautiful? There really is. It's almost like there's this thing that God lets us go through where there's a struggle and there's this strive and I gotta, and finally you're like, I can't do it, and you collapse. And God says, great, watch me now. And we sit back and just watch and our jaw drops open. I can't believe you, Lord. Look what you're doing. And then who's gonna take the credit for it? Only God can take the credit. Do not limit God by the natural laws. A couple of examples quickly in the Old Testament. Remember the plagues of Egypt. Remember Joshua and the walls of Jericho. How could you yell and walls fall down? It wasn't because they yelled. It wasn't because they marched. God did a miracle. Elijah, he had the gift of miracles. He prayed it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years and it didn't. Elisha had the gift of miracles as well. We saw that a while ago. But also he parted the Jordan River, raised the dead Shunammite woman's son, made an axe head float on top of the water. You know, somebody borrowed an axe and it flew in the water and they had to pay for it. They didn't have the money. And he says, you know, let's make it float. He made it float and he grabbed the axe head. What a great guy to have around, right? Now, I'm joking. God didn't give it to us to use in just frivolous ways, but that was something that would have cost that prophet a lot of money if he hadn't gotten the axe head back and all this. And so it was God's mercy to him. But we see miracles in the Old Testament, miracles in the New Testament. Of course, Jesus did scores of miracles in the New Testament. In Acts, the followers of the Lord, they did miracle after miracle. Peter and Paul operated in this gift. We saw them perform miracles on a repeated basis. But guys, the question is, does God do it today? And even as we said with the gifts of healings, yes, God does do it today. How many of you know of a miracle, maybe had one in your own life? You know, it's interesting. You want to see a modern day miracle, and this is kind of an odd example, but Jesus said it's a miracle for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And yet, don't you know rich people that know the Lord and love him? I do. And if the Lord said that's a miracle, he said, look, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. If that's the case, then why do we see rich people in America that know the Lord? Because God does miracles today. And so understand, miracles are still something God does. And again, salvation. Even salvation, probably one of the greatest miracles that you could ever have. And it brings us to the next question on that, even as we had the gift of healings, why then do we not see, you know, people with the gift of miracles today? Guys, I think a lot of the same reasons. Skepticism. Some of you right now don't believe that God put $195 in my bank account. Some of you just don't. Most of you probably do. A lot of you, I've met people that just don't believe that. God made that up. You see, skepticism will keep us from seeing miracles in our life with God. That's one reason. Another reason, I think, is that even as with the gift of healings, and these gifts are really closely linked together, there must be great humility for such a gift. Can you imagine God giving a gift to someone like this that had pride? I mean, it would be just horrid. So there has to be humility there. I think modern technology hinders this gift as well, because we know how everything works now. We know that that's impossible because of boom, 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 right? You know, when you don't know that, God, you know, we have greater faith just to believe that God's going to do it, don't we? Because that's the God we serve. I'll give you one example before we finish up. And that is this, guys. Is it easier to pray for God to heal a headache than it is AIDS? Or leukemia? Or cancer? If somebody comes up to you today and says, can you pray for me? I have a headache. Sure, let's pray. And if that didn't work, take a Tylenol, right? Because we have some answer. We can do something about it, right? What if somebody comes up and says, you know what? I've just been told I have 2 weeks to live. Can you pray for me that God will heal me? Yeah, you can pray, but how many of you are praying? And while you're praying, how many times, you know, are we praying while we're praying, saying, Lord, you know, this is impossible. We have to believe the Lord. And yet, let me ask you this. Is it any harder for God to heal something that gives you 2 weeks to live, whether it be cancer, leukemia, AIDS, whatever? Is it easier for God to heal a headache than to heal that, or to heal that than a headache? There's no difference to the Lord. Understand that. To God, it's all the same. He's God. And so no matter how many things can limit what we believe God can do, God still works today, guys, in healings and in miracles. That's how they work. In healings, God gives a gift where you can pray for people, and God gives you a gift to be healed. In miracles, God gives a gift where you can pray for others and see a miracle, and God will do a miracle in your life. I want to give you an opportunity to pray for all those. Today, I want to just spend some time, these last few minutes, just praying. And as we do this, I'm going to pray for God to touch and heal anybody in the body that needs to be healed. Ask for God to give a miracle for anybody in the body that needs a miracle, but also for God to give you that gift. How awesome would it be if you got a gift of healing today? Wouldn't that be neat? How awesome would it be if you had a gift of miracles today? Brian, why don't you come on up? We're just going to worship the Lord and just ask God to do that. And are any of the elders, I know that we had a whole row of elders first service. I don't know if any of them are even here second service. Do we have any elders in here? You know, Brian's here, obviously. Anybody else? Come on up, Chip. Good. Mike's here as well. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray first just for the gifts, for us to receive them. And then I'm going to pray and give an opportunity for you guys to receive that as well. But let's just pray. Let's take it to the Lord. Father, we do believe in your gifts today. We still believe, Lord, that the gift of healing is for today. And we still believe that you work miracles today. And God, there are some here today that need a healing and they need a miracle. And before I pray for that, Lord, I'm going to pray for the gift of healing and the working of miracles, that gift as well. There may be some in here that are humble enough to handle that. There may be some in here, Lord, that you have prepared for such a time as this, and you're going to raise them up even now to be able to lay hands on others and to see miracles take place and to see healings take place. And Lord, when you do that for them, they're going to be able to give you the glory and not be prideful and think somehow that their hands are special or that they're special or any of those fleshly things that really quench your spirit. And so if you want to receive the gift of healing or the gift of miracles, I want you to begin to pray that right now. Ask God to give it to you. And Lord, as you hear these voices around the room, I pray, Lord, that if there's any, God, that you would want to give those gifts to, that right now you would give that gift of healing and you would give that working of miracles in their life. We need that in the church today, Lord. We need to see people healed. We need to see miracles. And we know, Lord, that you care about the spiritual realm, but God, you also care about the physical realm as well for your children. And this is an area that we need to be physically touched. Just lift it up to the Lord and ask him to do it. But Father, there are some here this morning as well that need a healing. It's not that they wouldn't like to have the gift of healing, but Lord, they need to be healed. And Lord, you know why you've allowed the illnesses that you've allowed. And Lord, maybe in this room there's even some illnesses that you've given. Yes, and I know that may go against the grain and the mindset of some, depending on their theological background. But Lord, we see that Paul tells us you gave him that condition. You gave it to him. You told the demon that he could buffet Paul because you wanted to keep Paul humble. So if you've given us some condition that you want to use to keep us humble or to bring you glory, then Lord, we understand that. And it may be hard, but we accept that. We receive it. But there may be some in here, Lord, that you've not given that particular malady to do that. And maybe if you even gave it, it's only temporary. And Lord, there's people that need to be touched. And I pray that if there's any that need to be touched this morning, I want you to begin to pray right now that God would touch you and heal you. And you know, if you want to be prayed for, we had some that came up in the first service. They wanted to get with the elders. I want you to come up front right now and get with these guys. They're going to lay hands on you. They'll anoint you with oil. And as everybody's just praying where you are, you can come up, and there's nothing wrong in that. That's not a lack of faith. The Bible says if you need a touch from God, then have the elders lay hands and anoint with oil, and God will do that. So you're free to do that. I want you to come on up now if that's you. As I said, we had several the first service that did that. You're free to do that, or you're free to pray right there where you are. But just ask God to begin to touch you. And Father, I just pray that right now you would, Lord, pour out your healing touch and your healing power. We need you, Lord. And we know that doctors can only go so far. You're the great physician. And I just ask for your mercy for those that your hand would be on today to heal, that you would touch them even now. And just receive it by faith and believe it by faith, like a child, that God will do it. And Lord, there's some also that need a miracle this morning. Maybe it's not a healing of something physical, but they need a miracle. Their marriage is done. Their finances are done. They're going to lose their home. Maybe their kids have been lost already or about to be lost, or they're about to lose their job, or there's something happening in their life where unless you intervene and give them a miracle, it is all over. But Lord, you delight to do this. And even as you give some an ability to have that gift of miracles, to pray for others, you also give miracles. And I pray right now that as we begin to cry out, Lord, for those who need miracles in this room today, that you would give them their miracle. And again, I want to encourage you right now, if you need a miracle from the Lord, begin to ask him for that miracle right now and let the Lord do that. Let's just pray a moment and ask for those healings and ask for those miracles and just minister to the Lord and let him minister to you. Just thank you, Lord. Do your work, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I believe that there are some that you've touched here this morning, Lord. And even now, Lord, as some are coming up for prayer, God, I pray you touch them, Lord, and give them their healing and give them their miracle. And again, those just seated that are waiting on you, Lord, it doesn't have to be like Naaman. There doesn't have to be something flashy. It doesn't have to be a spotlight or a line or anyone doing anything special. It's just you by your power and your sovereignty touching them. And God, we pray you would do it even now. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, I believe there's some in here that you have touched right now that you've healed. And I believe there's some in here, God, that you're doing a miracle for right now. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you make that available to us, Lord. And God, we receive it by faith. You're so good to us, Lord. And just, again, pour out your heart to the Lord. Receive it by faith. And thank you, Lord. Father, I pray as we finish up today as well, Lord, I feel like I need to give the opportunity for some in here that may not know you. And it's one thing to be healed physically. It's another thing to have a miracle. But Lord, to be healed and go to hell, or to have a miracle and be eternally separated, it really is futile. So we're healthy, Lord, and then we're separated from you for eternity, God. That's not what we want. And I pray, Lord, that you see all the hearts. You know those in this room that know you, and if there's any that don't. And I just pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you, that right now, Lord, they would also begin to receive a spiritual healing and that miracle of salvation. You know, the Bible says that Jesus loves you, if that's you today, and that he died for you on the cross. But you've got to believe. You've got to confess your sin. So I want to encourage you, if you want to receive the Lord right now, begin to confess your sin. Confess your sin to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I believe that you paid the price for me. I can go to heaven because of what you did on the cross. I believe it, Lord. And now I receive it by faith. Lord, forgive me and come into my life and be my Lord. I give my life to you. And I thank you for what you've done. And so, Lord, I thank you for the work you've done this morning, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you give, how we need them, and how good you are to us. Lord, we just give you all the glory. And I pray that for those that you have healed, if there be any here today, or those that you've done a miracle for, that they would give you all the glory, Lord. They'd let someone know. They would proclaim it and give glory to our God, because you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory. And God, that you would use it as a testimony to your greatness and your goodness, and a witness, Lord, for who you are. And we thank you, Lord. What a great God. Lord, fill us with your Spirit now. Anoint us for the coming week and use us again in the way you want us to be used. Let us be those, Lord, who bring those words and prayers of healing and those words and prayers of miracles in others' lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you give to us. Now we freely, Lord, need to be willing to pray for others, to turn them to you as well. And we ask it in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen.